Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Beautiful, Janine. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house. Look at that. You're all on one side. I am concerned about the structure. We're glad you're here. Those on radio, WPHM, or by simulcast, or by internet podcast, WPHM.net. We come to you from Our Savior, Port Huron, and we're glad you dialed us up, and better yet, for those who could be physically here. So, this is the first Sunday of Lent. Now, due to the weather of Port Huron, we did have a 1 o'clock service. We squeaked it in, and for those who know the weather up here in Port Huron, we barely got out of the doors at 2 and at 2:30. The snow kicked up again. And by 4 o'clock, we decided we couldn't do a 7 o'clock service. The weather was not going to be favorable for driving. If you lived here, it would be okay. But we only have church mice, I think they say. We don't have people living inside. So we didn't have service here at Our Savior that evening. So I was teasing Doug Cole. I said, maybe at the second service, 11 o'clock, we had to dash everybody with ashes. Just to make up for the deficit of the evening Ash Wednesday service. Janine is in our organ nest. Should let you know, tomorrow in your e-letter, Church Council has been notified. We have gotten a bid. We have accepted it. They will start tomorrow morning. They're going to work on our organ for at least 4 days, possibly a fifth day, depending on what all they find. Our organ went through its last major renovation some 17 years ago at a cost of $60,000. We have done maintenance every year to keep the quality of the instrument there because it's 130 years old. I don't know what you'd look like after 130 years old, but the organ's doing very well. But it needs some major, minor, substantial changes and improvements to keep functioning at its top notch. So this one's going to run us up to, not to exceed, $4,500. We are going to need special gifts. It's not budgeted. There is no cash flow. We need the money to pay them. First payment is tomorrow. After that, we're going to start needing to pay that off. It should give us back, as you'll read, approximately a product of the organ. Everything that gets touched and changed will be guaranteed 25 to 30 years. Chances are we won't be here to check it out. But the warranty is there. So there you go. But it's given its age and, you know, we've maintained it very well. It'd be silly to let go of it. So we're not going to. Okay. That begins tomorrow. So I don't know about Wednesday services. We may be downstairs on a piano if we can't access her. We may use a piano or a digital piano inside the sanctuary. I have no idea what their construction is going to be. So we'll learn together. We'll be flexible. So, give you the lay of the land. Tomorrow night, Vacation Bible School meeting is at Our Savior, 6:30. Downtown churches have had two previous meetings. To have a joint Vacation Bible School with now, I believe, 5 denominations from 6. Okay. And we do not have a location chosen, but we do know the week. It's July 13th. So if anybody from Our Savior can attend with us, I may have Kathy Cole, as her schedule permits, tomorrow evening to be here for the meeting. These meetings, they're open to anybody from each of the congregations. We are making decisions as we go. There is no manual to follow when you're doing cross denominations and local traditions. We're blazing cautiously on all this thin ice so that we can pull this off. So we proceed tomorrow evening. Then on Wednesday, worship at 1 and 7 o'clock. And we're going to have good weather because it's going to be in the mid-40s. This is good. Then on Thursday, we have the first of 5 Lenten luncheons. This is open to the entire community, 12 noon to 1 p.m. We're at St. John United Church of Christ, part of our Old Town churches. And Jason from First Presbyterian is the presider. The First Presbyterian congregation is doing the luncheon. Following week, March 12th, Our Savior is doing the luncheon. I'll be the speaker. It's at 12 noon, Thursdays, for 5 Wednesdays beginning this Thursday. This is entirely open to the community. 5 major denominations of this downtown area are participating, plus several other faith communities of the Old Town area. So, invite everybody to know the door is open. We want you to be there. Okay? And we are punctual. We start on time and we end early or on time. You'll love that. Okay. Our worship begins as we celebrate Eucharist for this first Sunday of Lent. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present and who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Amen. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who would stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, and so we confess. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you knowingly and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits that we might find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Receive good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, says our God. All your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and the abounding gift of God's grace for you. Amen. Entrance hymn is Christ for the World We Sing, and so we do.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hymn of praise this day, we sing the praise of Him who died, verses 1 and verse 5. 1 and 5. Be with you. If you join me in the prayer of the day, please. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated for God's Word. Tony has our first reading today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading today comes from Genesis chapter 2 verses 15 through 17 and chapter 3 verses 1 through 7. Human beings were formed with great care to be in relationship with the Creator, creation, and one another, and the serpent's promise to the first couple that their eyes would be open led, ironically, to discovery only that they were naked. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did you say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tony. Judy has our second reading from Romans.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through the one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much. If you're able to stand for the gospel, please rise.
We speak together the gospel acclamation there. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The gospel reading for the day is from Matthew 4th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you. Now Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted there 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came. He said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, no one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple. He said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you." And again in Scripture, "On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to the devil, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So a third time, the devil took him up to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their splendor. He said to them, "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and they waited upon Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace and God's Spirit through this Lenten journey we embark on this day. In the inside back cover, you can follow kind of the milestones along the way of looking at the three scripture readings. As it's been my custom for probably 6 years now, we'll go through the scripture readings one by one so you, with your finger, can track what I am reading to you, and you know I am using scripture and not just the thoughts of people. Okay. So, first reading, Genesis. You could subtitle this scripture like, "This is where it all began." Or, comedians, "It's her fault." Or you could probably say, "Don't eat that vegetable or fruit." And it has nothing to do with that text. Nothing could be more pleasing to Satan than for us to miss the purpose of the scripture account. If we get into debate about whose fault was it, hers or his or theirs, then we missed it. If we're going to talk about what vegetable or fruit was it, and we could have avoided it, you missed the mark. That's not the text. The text is humanity. Notice there's no gender. Humanity. Are you willing to obey God or not? That's the question God put before us. I mean, dancing through creation and having all this abundant good stuff. Balance with creation, balance with animals, balance with food supply, and having it all at your fingertips. Who would risk it all? Except for that oblivious thing that kind of says to us, "Oh, but there's one thing you want. You want power. You want to know things that only are reserved for God to know, don't you?" And of course we say knowledge advances human civilization, right? The quest for knowledge is a forever quest. This is not against knowledge, it's against disobedience. Okay? You've got to understand that. God favors knowledge if we do it rightly. If it's going to lead us away from God, that's not right. So, how we do it is also the essential thing. Eve is presented with a challenge. Don't blame the serpent. It's not the serpent's fault. And don't draw pictures of a serpent being vertical. That was an ancient concept. We know of serpents on the belly. Genesis 3, part of the condemnation and judgment of God. You'll never be vertical again, serpent. You're going to be on your belly the rest of creation. Okay, fine. It wasn't Satan's fault. It wasn't the serpent. And please note, for those who are biblical literalists, the serpent is never called Satan. Pause for effect. A lot of times we categorize that as Satan. Where you get Satan is in the gospel text. He's named. He is not named in Genesis. It's a serpent. Anything. It could have been a phone book. If Eve wanted to disobey God, she would have blamed it on a phone book. Anything to have escape. Anything not to accept responsibility. Why not pin it on a serpent? Nobody liked them in the first place. Right? No. The issue is within the human spirit. You and I want to be Lord and ruler of our lives. Whenever we are threatened by health, by disease and nation and all this stuff economically in this country and the world, I get it. But I also get the fact that we are not in control. And as much as we want to climb to the heap and get above every situation in your life, my life, we're not going to get there. It's fool's gold. We're not going to know it all. We're not going to acquire it all. We're not going to get it all. But it is God's will for us to live under God's power and trusting in God. That's something we just don't want to do. That's the gut issue. And it wasn't just an Adam and Eve problem. It was a creation problem. We, the created, did not want to serve another God, another Lord, another Master. And even to this day, we still don't. So the Apostle Paul in the second reading out of the text of Romans passage referred to by scholars is the first Adam and the second Adam. But you never thought of Jesus as the second Adam. When Paul tells it, makes sense. First Adam into this world came. Notice Eve's not even accredited for the sin. We pinned it to the man. So all those male chauvinists that said, sure, her problem. It wasn't. It's his problem, as Paul. It's humanity's problem, sin, disobedience. As one person brought this curse on us all, so now you and I live under its curse. Okay. I know it's hard to say, but you gotta understand, if you believe that the scripture is the word of God, and if you believe the word of God is truthful in all things relevant to faith and life, then you gotta understand that because sin has come into this world by two, then multiplied through all of us, this is why you and I will die. To be able to say when people are crying because grandma and grandpa died, because somebody I loved has perished, because this accident or tragedy happened, we grieve the fact how they died, but that death occurs is a no-brainer. Scriptures give testimony, it's appointed once for everybody to die. Okay, pause for effect. And the death rate, as they used to say in the seminary, death rate remains the same, one per person. Doesn't change, okay? The good will die, the rich will die, the poor will die, the mediocres will die, and even those who try the hardest will die. You may say that's not fair. Why should I be pinned on what Adam and Eve did? Oh, this is the fun part. This is where we come in. As sin came into the world by the beginning, obviously there had to be a beginning. Now it has spread through all of us. Oh, contagious? No. Stubborn will. Let's call it what it is. The way I describe it many times at a funeral, okay, is we are like that two-year-old, three-year-old who says and stomps at the grocery store checkout line, I want this. And mom or dad says, you can't have it. We're not going to have it. The kid performs for everybody in the store, right? And if it wasn't your child, you've seen them there, stomping their feet, crying, screaming to embarrass the parent. Now, who taught that child to do that? Their mother. No. Their grandparents. No. Who? Nobody. It's in their heart. Self-centeredness. Concupiscence. Wanting more than you have, but not permitted to have it. The desire, the quest, that God says there's limits. And that's the hard thing. God says you can have anything in the garden, but one thing. You think everybody would really make sure they didn't violate that. Oh no, that's where the woman went. This sounds appealing. It's like the second grader or the two-year-old. You tell them, don't go near the hot stove. So they go over to touch it to see why. And when they get scalded or burned, it's like, oh, that's why. And then they scream like, you did it. No, that's the consequence of disobedience. And so is death. God said, if you do this, you will die. We said, oh, he doesn't mean it, he loves us. God means it, and it did happen. So we're still that 2 and 3 year old who screams and shouts, I want this, and God says, it's not right for you to have. I want to do this. God says, that's not good for the humanity. Everybody, you have to live within limits. In the Bethel Bible series, which I've taught to over 250 adults in my years. The beautiful picture of Harley Swiggum is one of a person standing, husband and wife, man and woman, with a banner wrapped around them. We have freedom within limits. The banner wrapped around us says, you do have freedom, but you must learn to live within limits. How about the young couple starting out? They in North Dakota, had some young families, just got married. bought a new house, bought new furniture, charged it all. 2 to 3 years. The divorce was pending because they were financially bankrupt. We want, but we cannot have. It's not the time. It's not the way. You must live within limits. Are there consequences? And you and I both know, if you don't teach your children the consequences, then you're requiring the government and the police officials to enforce limits. And that's not good for anybody. Because then you can't come back and say, it's the policeman's fault, or it's the government's fault, or it's the administration's fault. Come on, stop it. Quit blaming. Accept responsibility. So, as death has come in by one, now here comes the good news. Everybody wants good news, right? Here it is. God has made a provision. What's the provision? One person promised as of old from the ages through the prophets would come among us to become the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of God. He would give his life as a ransom, the perfect Lamb of God sacrificed and his blood shed for you, for me, and for billions of people. And like the scripture says, why, one would hardly give yourself up for a good person, but would you do it for all those people? I don't think so. But in fact, God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, not best buddies, God gave his life for you and for me to show us he is genuine in wanting to redeem this world and give it a new start with the resurrection. So, therefore, Paul concludes his writing, therefore, just as one man's trespass has led to the condemnation of all, so by one man's act of righteousness, Jesus Christ, has led to our justification and our life for all people. You get to the gospel lesson. Interesting text. Page 9 and 10. Here you have Jesus. It's in what we call the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's not in John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each account is a little bit different. So if you want to get a full image, put Matthew, Mark, and Luke against each other and see what the details are. But Matthew's is the most complete, so it's a good thing it's this year's reading. Threefold temptation. First one is, you're hungry, Jesus. Come on with me. I'll get us bread. Sounds very innocent. Doesn't everybody need bread? Sure. But not at the expense of Jesus' mission. What was it? What was the event preceding this temptation? You got to see the context or you're going to miss the meaning and purpose of the scriptures. He was just baptized. Big deal. Oh, yes, it is. He's going out to sort out whether or not, because this revelation, this is my beloved son, heavens spoke, Holy Spirit has showed up like a dove. Manifestations that this Jesus, me, if I was Jesus, is somebody special. And I got to weigh that. When he goes out there, 40 days, 40 nights, no eating. I jokingly say most people couldn't make one evening or 2 days, let alone 40 days. No eating. Of course, you'd be famished. Be shriveling up if I couldn't get my popcorn. If I couldn't get some other basics of life, the food groups. And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, accordingly, the temptation was too great if it meant I give up my throne. I give up my reason I came to this world. You and I get tempted to a lot of things. It can take us off course from God. But none of those things, even if they were good, are as valuable as the supreme gift in Jesus Christ of eternal life. Second one. Takes him out to a holy city, places him on top of a temple. If you are, then throw yourself down, tell the angels to pick you up. He says, no, this is not good. Shall not tempt the Lord your God. Have you ever tempted God? Try to strike a deal with God. In case you haven't, I'll tell you what it's like. You're not going to win. This thing's stacked against humanity. You cannot tell God what God's going to do. It's a reverse of the rules. You are the servant. You are not the master. You're not going to tell God how it's going to be. You just lap it up and say, okay, Lord, you and me, Lord. Just kind of like Noah, ready to board the boat. I guess it's time to go inside, don't you think? Yes, it's time to obey. Third temptation. Bow down and worship me. You can have all these nations, you can have all the power, all the glory that this world can give you. Don't you know how many are falling left and right around us in this culture? Don't you listen to the headlines? Don't you see what that did to people? And yet we still aspire and we kind of treat in America and this culture of wealth and affluence that this is the supreme good. Oh, what an empty shell that is. It's not good. It's plagued with all kinds of subsequent temptations and destruction of the human soul. I jokingly now can say I applied to Princeton University in 1968. I thought I met all the criteria. I met with the Princeton graduates in the city of Pittsburgh at a luncheon with them. My pastor was a graduate from Princeton. I thought I had all the credentials. Until those last 6 months, I found out I missed one. My father was a plumber. And we didn't give enough money to the institution to get accepted at an Ivy League school. Yes, wealth has its privileges unless you get caught. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, don't do it. Don't, you know, wield your weight at the expense of other people. Take care of all people, not just yourselves. Is that understanding? And how many politicians, oh, come on. I'm a poli-sci major and I follow politics these last 50 years, extremely close. How many people are seduced by power? I don't care what your opinion is about a particular individual. It's all part of the problem. We give up our soul to acquire electability, power, prestige. And then when we get there, it's an empty thing. Everybody curses you. Everybody, I can't imagine being to an elective office of high visibility, and every day you wake up, you're hearing people criticizing you constantly. What kind of life is that? And that's what we thought we wanted. Oh, how wicked the very dream itself is, let alone the realization of getting what you wanted. You know, there is that expression, watch what you ask for because you just might get it. And when you get it, you curse it, because it's wicked too. Only one thing, Jesus says to Satan, one thing is worthy of worship in your life, my life, it's God. He's the only one that doesn't turn on us. He doesn't give us bad press. He's there when everybody else has walked away. And he is ever faithful with his love, grace, and forgiveness when we fall short of what God has expected of us. Join us on this Lenten journey. Join us on Wednesdays when we talk about Paul's prayer that God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon us and give us power and knowledge in the inner person. And then on Sundays, as we look at the lectionary, may the grace of God fill your life with every good thing. And just as the sun rises early in the morning, so too may God's sun rise in you. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, we're going to sing this three times. We're not stuttering. It is a prayer. It's what we call mantra. It's where we repeat it. So we sing it three times. Ancient church understood this practice of mantras. where you repeat it so it sinks into our heart. Okay? Change my heart, O God, we sing. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of the wilderness, we pray for the church. Lead us in showing grace and hospitality to all who struggle with doubt or shame. Make your church holy ground where all people can be seen and loved for who you have created them to be.
Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
We pray for creation. Show your glory in deserts and mountaintops. Nourish gardens and orchards and bless those who tend them. Forgive us for our desire to dominate creation instead of serving as faithful stewards and caretakers. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the nations. Liberate leaders and governments from the temptation to exercise unjust dominion over those whom they are called to lead and serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those in need. Sustain those who are hungry and alone, those who are anxious, those facing difficult decisions, and those facing a recent diagnosis or new grief. We pray especially today for Jared Lucas, Nancy May, Donna Taylor, Mary DeWitt, Sue Higgins, Sherry Genaw, Brad DeTerry. We pray for John W. Ashford's son, John, with his injury. We also pray for the John and Elaine Pennell for the passing of John's sister. Remember those serving our nations here and abroad, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and those that are returning to our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you for putting new songs on our lips and in our hearts. Hear our voices as we join in songs of lament and praise. We give thanks for musicians, composers, and poets. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We praise you for bringing us through the desert into the promised land of your kingdom. We give thanks for saints who have guided us in times of trial and joy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all of our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. We give our thanks this day for the sponsors, this day for our anonymous radio sponsor for this day from the community. Also for the flowers that family has made available for us on the altar. We appreciate that very much. Lori Parker, she's not able to be here today. She's been sick this week. She has donated snow removal for the week, and we appreciate that always. And any time the snow machine can be turned off, we'd be happier yet. Inside your bulletin, there is an insert, Easter lilies for the next 4 weeks. We're asking you, I've been asked more than one time because we had artificial poinsettias, are we going to have real Easter lilies? The answer is absolutely. Can you imagine going inside this sanctuary or lakeside chapel for Easter sunrise and all we smelt was plastic? It's going to be lilies. Of course we're going to do lilies. Very much so. So you sponsor it, put it down here. If we should ever come to a point of exceeding approximately, what is our number, Doug? 30? 30. Then whatever has come in, we still will give you credit, but we'll give the excess money to the food depot. We're not going to waste it. We are going to take the 30 we need for here and up at Lakeside Chapel. So 30 is what we need, and anything in excess is to the benefit of the community. Okay? No profiteering here. I mentioned that for those on radio, you may not have heard it at the beginning if you didn't turn us on. We will have organ construction, reconstruction work starting tomorrow morning around 10:30, they told me. So we expect that to begin. It could be 4 or 5 days. To what extent and what pieces of the organ they're going to take apart, I don't know, but I guarantee I will photograph every part of it. I did 17 years ago. You ought to see what's behind this wooden box called an organ. It is incredible, all the switches and everything that make it work. And to think that the original piece was built over 130 years ago. And we're just trying to update it. Incredible. So, and your financial support is absolutely essential for that to be paid back. Okay? You'll get an e-letter tomorrow, so please read it and check on everything. Wednesday, tomorrow evening, for those who can help us plan the next Vacation Bible School, first of its kind in 100 years in Port Huron, we're going to meet here at Our Savior at 6:30 in the evening. If you're from another church listening to this broadcast and your church is participating, join your church and come here to the meeting. Then on Wednesday, 1 and 7 o'clock, our Lenten services, service of the words. Trying to think anything else I need to bring to your attention. I think that's, you can read most of the rest of the stuff and be responsible for it. Oh, remind you Thursday of the luncheon over at St. John United Church of Christ, 12 noon, because we begin the 5 Thursdays for that experience. So our worship continues as our gifts are presented. If you'll please rise, we sing to our Lord. Holy and gracious host, you set a table where we feast as friends. Prepare us to witness to your goodness with every gift you have given to us to share, that all people may know your peace through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks, he gave it for all to drink, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And so it's with this bread and it's with this cup we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the very mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God's love is poured out in Christ for you. Open yourselves then to receive it. Thanks be to God. Come, as guided by the deacons, come and we sing during distribution, first hymn softly and tenderly. Thank you.
If you'll please stand for the blessing, page 21. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever.
We thank you, living God, for the body and blood of your Son, which sustains us in the wilderness and the garden alike. As Christ has loved us in this feast, so send us to love Christ and our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We thank you, living God, for the body and blood of your Son, which sustains us in the wilderness and the garden alike. As Christ has loved us in this feast, so send us to love Christ and our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Sending song this day is O Living Bread. We'll sing first and last verses, 1 and 4.
Been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.